In Romans 15 this morning, God gives us a beautiful reminder of the power of His Word in our lives. And we can learn a lot from this passage, beginning in verse 4 of Romans chapter 15. The Bible says, whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore receive ye one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made unto the fathers, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for His mercy, as it is written, for this cause I will confess to thee among the Gentiles and sing unto thy name. And again he saith, rejoice ye Gentiles with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all ye Gentiles, and laud him, all ye people. And again Isaiah saith, there shall be a root of Jesse, and he that shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, in him shall the Gentiles trust. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. So I'm going to take my title from that last verse, Abound in Hope. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to open your word together. And we pray that we'll each come with expectant hearts to hear from you today. And that you would speak to every heart. The Holy Spirit would take it and apply it to our lives and change us through it, Lord. We would leave saying it was truly good to be in the house of the Lord. Lord, we remember Barbara's brother Jim this morning as well and pray that you would watch over him, watch over the doctors as they go through the procedure. Everything would be smooth and successful and a help for him. And we pray for the family as well, comfort them during this time. So Lord, we pray that you would meet with us this morning and guide us in all truth. And we ask this in the name of our wonderful Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So God is telling us in this wonderful passage that His Word has the power to change us. And it does. Praise God. And He promises in this passage that if we will yield to the Word, if we will be in the Word, if we'll make the Word part of our lives, God will work miracles in our lives and make us more like Jesus. Now, there's just six things I'm going to point out this morning that we see in this passage that God has promised to do through His Word, but there are hundreds. We're just going to look at a sampling. But he starts off by talking about patience. And if there's anybody here that needs a bit more patience, then God can help. Amen? Because he says here in verse 4, whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience. You know, one of the best ways to learn patience is for God to test our patience. But it's through His Word that we learn to be more patient. Go to Romans chapter 5, if you would, in verse 3. And I'll show you that. And most of us don't want to hear this. We don't want to hear that we're going to get more patience by having our patience tested, but that's how it works. Romans 5, verse 3, God says, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. God wants us to have more patience. And God promised that if we would be in His Word, He will make that a reality. That we, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. God says that the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, patient. In 2 Timothy 2:24, God wants us to run with patience the race that is set before us. In Hebrews 12:1. God will develop patience in our lives as we are in this powerful book, His Word, this quick and powerful book. Not only does He mention patience there in verse 4, but He mentions comfort. The reality of life is we're going to have trials. We're going to be hurt. We're going to be down sometimes. And in those times, we're going to need comfort. And there's no one better to bring comfort than the Comforter. Amen? which is, by the way, one of the names of the Holy Ghost, who indwells us when we are saved, he is referred to as the Comforter in the book of John. Because he came to be that comfort for us. Go to Acts chapter 9, if you would, and I'll show you an example where the God has done this in the lives of his people. But Jesus said in the book of John, the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. That is one of his missions to Christians, or his ministries, I should say, to Christians, is to comfort. And God promised that through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, we might have hope. Notice Acts 9, verse 31. Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified, walking in the fear of the Lord, and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost. Were multiplied. The comfort of the Holy Ghost. You see, we have the author of this powerful book indwelling us. That's what this passage is telling us. Whatsoever things were written aforetime, well, who were they written by? They were written by God. The Holy Ghost is God and indwells us when we're saved. And He's there to bring comfort when we need it. And we will need it. You know, in telling us about the rapture in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, Paul finishes by saying, wherefore comfort one another with these words. In 1 Thessalonians 4:18, what does he mean? It's a comfort to know that this isn't all there is. That Jesus is coming soon to take us away, to spend eternity with Him. That's a comfort for believers. And so the Word of God has been written that we might have patience, that we might have comfort, that also He mentions hope. The patient and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Now, hope for a Christian isn't in the sense that we hope it might happen. Hope for a Christian is, I know it will happen. Amen? That's the difference. That's what God talks about when He mentions the word hope. Something that we know is true because our Creator said so in His Word. Go, if you would, to Psalm 119. David talked about the hope that he has through the Word of God. Psalm 119 and verse 81. And David had trials too. David faced tribulations in life as well. And notice what he said in Psalm 119, verse 81. My soul fainteth for thy salvation, but I hope in thy word. I hope in thy word. Look at Psalm 130, verse 5. And we'll see it again. Psalm 130, verse 5. David said, I wait for the Lord, my soul doth wait, in His word do I hope. There's a lot of hope in the Word of God. There are literally thousands of promises to God's people. And God wants us to abound in that hope. How can that be true? Because we're abounding in His word. This book has so much power, it can do so much for us. Now, the Bible says, Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against God. The Bible says, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light in my path. The Bible says, I have more understanding than all my teachers, for Thy testimonies are my meditation. We could go on and on. The Bible was given to us to give us hope, to work in our lives, to give us this, the patience, to give us the comfort that we see here. Because we know Jesus is coming back. Looking for that blessed hope, the Bible says in Titus chapter 2. And the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus is coming. That is our hope. And that hope is strengthened through the Word. The Bible says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God in Romans 10:17. So God wrote His Word that we might have patience, that we might have comfort, that we might have hope. So do we? Do we have patience? Do we have the comfort that we need? If we don't, it's not that it's not available. It's that we're not in the Word making it a reality for us. Now he goes on to talk here in verse 5. He mentions again that He is the God of patience and consolation. That's that word consolation, same as comfort. He grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore receive ye one another. So God is saying here that not only will His Word bring patience and comfort and hope, but love. Receive you one another, He says. Matter of fact, Jesus said that the love that Christians have for one another will be the way that the world knows we're Christians. In John 13, He says, "By this shall all men know that you're My disciples, if you have love one to another." By this. Not these, this. Love. And God's promising in this passage that His Word will develop that love such that we can learn to love like God loves. Look at Romans chapter 5, please, and verse 5. And then we'll go to 1 John, the love chapter. Romans chapter 5, verse 5, the Bible says, "And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us." You see what that's saying? The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. We don't have the capacity to love the way God commands us to, but God does. And God lives in us. And so the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts, so we can love others with the love of God, because it flows through us from God Himself. And then look at 1 John 4, which is a beautiful passage on the love of God. Verse 7, the Bible says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God." So according to the Bible, true love only comes from God. "And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love." So not only is God the source of true love, but God is love. So He is not only the source of it, but He is love incarnate, if you will. He goes on to say, "In this was manifested the love of God." So God not only is love and is the source of true love, but God also manifested that true love at Calvary. Notice it says, "Because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him." Herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. God wants us to learn to love one another, but He says it's possible through His Word. His love is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. God wants us to be Christ-like. And if we're not loving one another, we're not Christ-like. That one verse in there says, "He that loveth not knoweth not God." But if we do love, know God, we will love as God loves. And He will develop that in our lives. So He talks more in verses 8 to 12 about His promises, about what was written in the Word, just reminding us that the Bible was written for our benefit, to grow us, to teach us. Notice in verse 13, "The God of hope fill you with all joy." It's surprising how many Christians don't seem to have the joy of the Lord. There's just no easy way to explain that, because we have God and we have God's Word. And yet, often you meet Christians that are down in the dumps. They just don't manifest the joy of the Lord in their lives. Paul said, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice." If we don't have joy, it's not because God doesn't give joy. It's because we're not in the Word of God and allowing the Holy Spirit to bring true joy in our lives. Go to Psalm 16, please, and we'll see where David understood this. That true joy comes from being close to God. Psalm 16, verse 11. The Bible says, "Thou wilt show me the path of life. In Thy presence is fullness of joy." At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Notice he says, in thy presence. When we are in God's presence, there is fullness of joy. Now, the Bible says, rejoice evermore. In 1 Thessalonians 5:16. We're commanded to rejoice, but rejoicing won't be a reality for us if we're not in the Word. Because that's what this whole passage is talking about. What was written was written for us, that God might work in our lives to bring patience, to bring comfort, to bring hope, to bring love. And as we see here, joy. Go to 1 John 1:4 if you would. And John also explains that one of the reasons he gave us the Word was so that joy could be a reality in our lives. Not just a concept, but something real happening through us. Notice 1 John 1:4, he says, these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. So John is saying, one of the reasons I'm writing the Word of God is so you can have true joy. And Jesus said in John 16, your joy no man taketh from you. The joy that comes from God is joy that can't be stolen by others. And then lastly, notice Romans 14:13. He says, the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace. Now, this peace is not talking about the peace we have with God at salvation. We all get that when we get saved. When we're born again, Jesus Christ is the mediator, and we are reconciled to God, and we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's done the day we're saved. This is talking about the peace in our hearts. Because let's face it, this is what the world's looking for. Joy and peace. And they're not going to find it outside of God and His Word. But peace, peace, he says, and believe in that you may abound in hope. Peace. Great peace have they which love thy law, the Bible says, and nothing shall offend them. Psalm 119:165. Great peace have they which what? Love thy law. This is the kind of peace God wants us to have. Go to Isaiah 26, if you would, please, verse 3. Isaiah 26, verse 3. God wants to develop all of these in our lives. And He will do so as we are in His Word. But that is a conscious decision on our part to be in the Word. And allow these things that are written to truly work the miracles they can work in our lives. Notice that Isaiah 26:3, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. And then look at John 14, please. Jesus Christ talked about peace. John chapter 14, Jesus Christ promised a peace unlike the world could even understand. Verse 27, John chapter 14, Jesus said, John 14, 27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Look what he says, not as the world giveth. This isn't a peace that the world even understands or has. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And then most of us know Philippians 4. Be careful for nothing, but in everything in my prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And what does it say? And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. God gave us His wonderful Word that it might develop us, that it might grow us, that it might make us what God wants us to be. He finishes this passage, Romans 14:13, by saying, through the power of the Holy Ghost. Through the power of the Holy Ghost. The Bible says, be filled with the Spirit. The Bible says, be yielded to the Spirit. God promised that we would all have the Spirit after we're saved. And through the Word of God, the Spirit makes these things a reality. Again, this is just a sampling. We could go on. Long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. The Holy Spirit will do all of these things in our lives. But it comes down to His Word. Whatsoever things were written for our learning. That we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. God wants us to abound in that hope. He wants us to abound in these things. Patience, comfort, the hope, the love, the joy, the peace. Again, maybe part two, the long-suffering and the gentleness and the goodness and the faith and the meekness and the temperance. The point is, this book is powerful. Sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. It's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That's a lot of power. Who could stand up and tell us where the soul and the spirit divide? We can't even see them. This book can. Who can tell us that they can discern people's thoughts and intents? That means their motives. This book can. But not if we don't open it. Amen? Be nice to lay it under our pillow and just let it soak in during the night, wouldn't it? It doesn't work like that. We have to be in it. Reading it, studying it, meditating in it, memorizing it, making it a vital part of our lives. And God promises that if we'll do that, we will abound in hope. We will abound in these things. They will be real for us. Because this book is real. God is real. If we're born again, the Holy Ghost is real and lives within us and wants these things to be real for us. He wants us to have that peace, that joy that He's promised, have that comfort, patience. He wants these things to be real for us, but it comes down to us. Whatsoever things were written. Praise the Lord. Let's pray.